Jivacharte Hayavajan Kutumba Varaninava Nidraya. By sleeping, Priyate wastes Nocta night. Yavayena sex indulgence. Also, va either vayaha duration of life, diva days, cha and artha economic. Ihaya development. Raja, O King, Kutumba, family members, Badanena, maintaining, Va, either. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The lifetime of such an envious householder is passed at night, either in sleeping or in sex indulgence, and in the daytime, either in making money or maintaining family members. Purport. The present human civilization is primarily based on the principles of sleeping and sex indulgence at night and earning money in the day and spending the same for family maintenance. Such a form of human civilization is condemned by the Bhagavad school because human life is a combination of matter and spirit and soul. The whole process of Vedic knowledge is directed at liberating the spirit soul from the contamination of matter. The knowledge concerning this is called Atma Tattva. Those men who are too materialistic are unaware of this knowledge and are more inclined to economic development for material enjoyment. Such materialistic men are called karmis, or fruitive laborers, and they are allowed regulated economic development or association of women for sex indulgence. Those who are above the karmis, that is the gyanis, yogis, and devotees, are strictly prohibited from sex indulgence. The karmis are more or less devoid of atma tattva knowledge, and as such, their life is spent without spiritual profit. The human life is not meant for hard labor like for economic development, nor is it meant for sex indulgence like the dogs and the hogs. It is specially meant for making a solution to the problems of material life and the miseries thereof. So the karmis waste their valuable human life by sleeping and sex indulgence at night, and by laboring hard in the daytime to accumulate wealth. And after doing so, they try to improve the standard of materialistic life. The materialistic way of life is described herein in a nutshell. And how foolishly men waste the boon of human life is described as follows. Ese irshyalo grihasta grihomedi kajivan ratri me yato sone yav maitu me ratret veni tata din me dan kamane ya parivar ke sadasyon ke palan me bita hai. Tatpavya. Vartman manav sabhyata मुख्यतः रात्रि में सोने तथा मैथुन करने और दिन में दम कमा कर उसे परिवार के भरण पोषण हेतु खर्च करने के सिद्धांतों पर आधारित है। इस तरह की मानव सभ्यता भागवत संप्रदाय द्वारा निंदित है। चूंकि मानव जीवन भौतिक पदार्थ का आत्मा का सम्मेल का सम्मेल है, अतएव वैराग्य ज्ञान की पूरी प्रक्रिया आत्मा का पदार्थ के संदूषण से मुक्त करने की दिशा में प्रेरित करती है व्यक्ति है। इससे संबंधित ज्ञान आत्म तत्व कहलाता है। जो लोग अत्याधिक भौतिकवादी हैं, वे इस ज्ञान से अनभिज्ञ रहते हैं और भौतिक भोग के लिए आर्थिक विकास के प्रति अधिक उन्मुख होते हैं। ऐसे भौतिकवादी लोग कर्मी कहलाते हैं और उन्हें नियमित आर्थिक विकास या यौन आचार के लिए स्त्री संगति की छूट रहते हैं। जो लोग कर्मियों से ऊपर है, यथा ज्ञानी योगी तथा भक्त, उन्हें यौनाचार सर्वथा वर्जित है। कर्मी लोग आत्म तत्व से बहुत कुछ विहीन होते हैं और इस तरह उनका जीवन बिना किसी आध्यात्मिक लाभ के बीत जाता है। यह मनुष्य जीवन न तो आर्थिक विकास के लिए कठिन श्रम करने के लिए है, न सुकरों कुकरों की भांति माइटों में व्रत रहने के निमित्त है। यह तो भौतिक जीवन की समस्याओं तथा उनके फलस्वरूप उत्पन्न कष्टों का फल ढूंढने के लिए है। इस तरह कर्मी जन रात्रि को सोकर तथा माइटों में व्रत रखकर और दिन को संपत्ति संग्रह करने के लिए कठिन श्रम करके बिता देते हैं। ऐसा करके वे भौतिकवादी जीवन के स्तर को ऊंचा उठाने का प्रयास करते हैं। यहां पर भौतिकवादी जीवन का अति संक्षिप्त वर्णन हुआ है और अगले श्लोक में बताया गया है कि किस तरह लोग मनुष्य जीवन के वर्णन को मुख्यतः पूर्ण करना करते हैं। निद्रया व्रियते नक्तम व्यवायेन च वावयः दिवाचर्तेहया राजन कुटुम्बवरेण वा। Srila Shukadeva Goswami is only beginning to talk. This is only the third verse that he has spoken. He's getting off to a very strong start. He's beginning with very strong words. He doesn't care if some of his audience or some people that may hear this might be offended or insulted. He doesn't care. He's speaking the truth without any compromise. And he is speaking from his own heart what is very much his own opinion. Although if someone in the audience were to stand up and say, "What do you mean? Why are you talking like this?" Is this supported by Shastra? Somebody may, who's very foolish, may stand up and ask. If he was challenged, Shukadeva could give him hundreds of evidences from Shastra that perfectly support his opinion. So Shukadeva is speaking perfectly in accordance with the dictates of the Dharmashastra and the opinions of all great sages and devotees. That materialistic life is foolish. This word Bhautikavadi, I guess this is a limitation of Hindi. In Sanskrit it means someone who believes in the philosophy of materialism. A materialistic philosopher is Bhautikavadi. Vadi means philosopher. I don't know if there's a better word in Hindi. The idea is materialistic person. He has no philosophy, he's just a materialist. You know, that I don't know what the word would be for that in Hindi. Just a materialistic person, a foolish materialistic, he's not a philosopher. In Prabhupada's English, he says materialist. It doesn't mean a philosopher. Yeah. And who's a materialist? Really, it depends on your relative judgment. You may think that you're a great saint, and you look at other people and think they're materialists. It's relative. You find many people who present themselves as sadhus. They even wear rakta, many sadhus in Vrindavan and other places. They think that they're saintly. But we may look at them and think that they're very materialistic. They're smoking biddies and drinking tea and reading newspapers all day, and we think that they're materialistic. And they think they're sadhus. Their idea of sadhu seva is to share the hookah and smoke bong together. This is the idea. So one man's sadhu is another man's materialist. It really depends on what you think, what you understand to be materialistic. So Sukadev Goswami, he has a very radical opinion. Basically, everybody in this world is a materialist. He's looking at everybody and seeing how materialistic all the people in this world are. And he's disgusted. He's very, very unhappy with the situation. In fact, he didn't even want to take birth. He was in his mother's womb. He refused to come out for 12 years. I'm not coming out there. This earth where everybody is a materialist, I don't want to see the place. I'll stay in my mother's womb. So this is the opinion of Sri Sukadeva Goswami. He's very against the materialistic way of life. And he sees that this whole world is pervaded with such materialism. He has a very negative opinion of our civilization. He was speaking 5,000 years ago when the culture in India was much purer than it is now. Even I can see there must have been a great difference 5,000 years ago. Even I was not here 5,000 years ago, but I can see there must have been a difference. I was here only 30 years ago, but I can see the big difference in 30 years. How much more materialistic it has become. People who are older, they can remember what it was like in their grandparents' time, what it was like in the villages, how things were simpler and purer, even now, out in the countryside. Things were different, and even now are somewhat different. But even 5,000 years ago, in India, there was a much more, less materialistic place, must have been, much less materialistic. Still, Jiva Goswami, rather, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, is appalled, is disgusted to see the materialistic condition of most of the people in the world. If the Vairagis go around and say, you Grihasthas, you're all in Maya, they will not make many friends that way. If a Vairagi wants to be able to collect some disciples and some money, he has to be a little more friendly than that. He has to flatter his disciples and say, oh, you're very nice devotees. But Sukadeva is not like that. He's saying, you're all of you Grihasthas, you're all in Maya. Jai Shri Gurni Kai, Shri Lokam Shaka Devi, Radha Partha Saraswati Jai, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman. And we have to respect the opinion of Sukadeva Goswami. Although we don't have his murti on our altar, we do not worship him in that form, in the form of puja. We generally don't have established murtis of Sukadeva Goswami. There's one murti there, at Sukata, under the tree, where he spoke the Bhagavatam Parikshit. There is murti of Sukadeva Goswami. But generally he's not worshiping his murti. We worship him in mantra. Every time we recite Srimad Bhagavatam, we should remember Sukadeva Goswami. And that way we worship him and show him our great respect and our willingness to accept his opinions, as harsh as they are. At the beginning of when he started to speak, earlier in the Bhagavatam, Ugra Raval Sutta Goswami offered his prayers in glorification of Sukadeva. Yam Prabhajam Tamanati Tamati Krishyam Dvaipaya No Vijana Kathara Ajuhava Putriti Tanmayataya Tarabobi Naidus Tam Sarga
Tarabhuta Hidyam
Muni Tam Sarga Bhuta Hidyam Muni Manatosi. When Sukadeva Goswami finally agreed on Krishna's personal request to take birth at the age of 12, he came out of his mother's womb. He agreed and promised Krishna, okay, I'll come out. But he didn't promise, okay, I'll stay home. That part he didn't agree to. So as soon as he was born, he left home. He didn't take permission from his parents. He just stood up and walked out. He didn't even say hello to his parents.
Okay.
anapesam, apetyakrityam. He didn't undergo the proper samskaras. He didn't have any upanayana, any gurukula training, nothing. He didn't stay for that. So although it is our vidhi, it is confirmed by Rupa Goswami that if we want to be accepted as devotees practicing Krishna consciousness, we should take Vaishnava Diksha from a guru in the sampradaya. This is an absolute rule. Everybody must take Diksha. Krishna took Diksha. Lord Ramachandra took Diksha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took Diksha. There is almost no exception. One exception, Shrinidhi Goswami, great devotee, but he never took Diksha. Only exception allowed, one person. And it's described by Shrinidhi Goswami that his father was chasing after the boy, calling, my son, please come back. And he did not even turn around to respond. Tarabodhi Devas. Only the trees echoed the anguished cry of the father, my son, my son. So, Śrīla Sūta offers his respects. Tam sarva bhūta bhūta vinayam munina anatosi. That great sage Śrīdev, who just like the Paramatma, Super Soul, can see what is going on in everyone's heart. To him, I offer my obeisances. I offer my respects to that Sukadev, who is the guru of all the great munis. Even his father and his father's guru came to sit at his feet and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasadeva and Narada were in the audience when Shukadev spoke to Bhagavatam to Parikshit, even though they heard his guru and his guru's guru. So we honor, have our respect for Shukadev, especially for one reason, that he spoke to Srimad Bhagavatam. Swanubhava, everything he spoke was coming from his own heart, his own realization. Sugar means parrot. Actually, the parrots you have in India, what we call parakeets in the West, small birds. You know, the parrots in South America are big birds. That is the Vrindavan, all these green parrots. These are what we call parakeets. In England they call it budgie. In England they call it budgie. Budgie is the name. Anyway, parrot, you can teach him to speak anything. He can chant Hare Krishna. You can teach him to recite some slogans of the Bhagavatam. But he doesn't know what the meaning is. He just says the words. I was reading about one devotee, one parrot who was being kept in the temple, I think in England. And he was reciting shlokas and chanting Hare Krishna to all the guests. But one time, they were tying some rope or some curtain, and the rope got caught on the bird's neck. And he was being strangled. And he didn't chant Hare Krishna. He squawked, like that. At the danger of being killed, he didn't resort to chanting Hare Krishna. He screamed like a dumb bird. Got caught on his neck, yeah. He was even reciting so many shlokas. We don't want to be chanters like that. That when we're faced with death, we forget to remember Krishna, and we try to take shelter of Maya instead when we're in danger of dying. But Sukadeva is a different kind of parrot. He is seeking his full realization. Everything he says is coming from his heart. He understands everything he says, and he believes everything. And it is all of him, not just repeating what someone else thinks. But this is very curious, a very great mystery. Sukadeva, it is known, did not change one word. He simply repeated, word for word, everything that he heard from his father Vyasadeva when he spoke to Balarama. He simply repeated the same words like a parrot does. At the same time, what he spoke was his own opinion coming from his own heart. Elsewhere, at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva says, Shuka Bukhad Amritasam. Because it has been passed through the mouth, it has been touched by the lotus mouth of the transcendental parrot. Therefore, it is all the more meaningful and all the more and very much more relishable, having been repeated by Sukadeva Goswami. When the speaker of the Bhagavatam is speaking from his heart, when he is convinced of everything the Bhagavatam says and has realized it, who actually has seen the truth, then when he speaks the same words, even not changing one word, they have much more potency and meaning and are much more relishable. So when the professional men who make a living to support their families by reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, for whom reciting the Bhagavatam is a career, a way of making a living and a reputation, when they speak very nicely, so poetically, singing very nice songs, with Casio keyboard accompaniment, and very nicely, very expertly, it is almost no spiritual use, no spiritual potency. If they don't, if they're not speaking with full sincerity from their hearts, but are just doing it as a business, then they have not one tiny fraction of the potency of Sukadeva Goswami.
So, with
Sukadeva was not thinking, oh, I will be respected so much. After I'm done speaking, they will worship me under the asasana and give me so much money and presents. He wasn't thinking about that. When Sukadeva, we read in the 5th chapter of the 12th canto, when Sukadeva finished speaking, the end of the 12th canto, well, he didn't go up to the 5th chapter. In the 6th chapter, it said, he finished speaking, he got up and walked away. He didn't stay for Guru Puja, for presents, and to listen to the nice speeches of everybody who congratulated him. He didn't stay for any of that. He wasn't thinking of how much honor and how much money he would get. Samsarinam. He was thinking how to benefit the suffering people in Kali Yuga, how to do some good for mankind. For those who are in anxiety, to get free from the cycle of suffering and birth and death and this materialistic modern civilization. For those who want to become free from that, out of mercy, compassion for them, Sukadeva was wanting to speak to Bhagavatam. So he's beginning his discourse with great compassion, saying, you are all in Maya, all of you. Therefore, tasmad bharata sarvatma bhagavani choro harihi shrotavya kirtikavyasya smartavya sthichitavayam. So if you want to get free from this reason to be afraid, you should be afraid. You're in the deep well of illusion. You should be terrified. But if you want to become free from fear, take this easy remedy. Tasmat Bharata, therefore, O great king of the Bharata dynasty, you should simply, and everybody should simply, hear about, chant about, remember, and glorify the personality of Godhead always and everywhere. So, our Guru, Śrīla Śukadeva, he's actually our best friend. Even though he's speaking very harshly, sharply to us. Like a doctor who's saying, you have cancer, you could die in 6 months. But I will suggest a treatment that may save you, 50% chance. So that doctor is your best friend. He's the one man who can save your life. If he decided not to tell you you have cancer, let you be happy, then he would die. So Sukadeva is our best friend. He's telling you, you're in great danger. You're in great illusion. I will give you a chance to become free, to become saved. Therefore, we should be very eager to accept the opinions of Sukadeva and to try to hear from him his advice, what we should do. Just like Richard asked, now I'm asking you what I should do. now that I have a few days to live. A tough Pachami, we just read at the end of the last chapter, the first canto. Krishna asked this question, short question. Atatpachami samsirim muninam paramami guru purushasyeha yat kritiyam miyamanasya sarvata. I will ask you therefore, what should a man do who's about to die, and actually everybody is facing death very soon? Yet shrodavyam ato javyam yat kardavyam vivipo. Prajaniyam vad, bhuvi yat vad viparyayam. Tell me, please, I'm asking you very simply, what should a man hear about? What should he chant about? And then what should he do? What should he remember? And what should he worship? And what should he avoid doing? Very simple questions. He was allowing Shukadeva to decide exactly how to answer it. He didn't make the question very specific. Basically, what should I do? You tell me, please. Because he trusted Shukadeva. You know my problem, you know the solution, I'm putting myself in your hands. Please give me guidance. So we should put our hands in Shukadeva Goswami, put ourselves in Shukadeva Goswami's hands, and trust his guidance, and accept those who are real representatives of Shukadeva, and ignore the people who pretend to be representatives but don't really have the pure heart that Shukadeva has. Hare Krishna. So any questions? Yes, please.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
As you explained it, these two being initiated, as well as Lord Rama and Lord Krishna, both were initiated.
Yes.
Why both initiated? Why they were not themselves? And which Mahamantra both were chanting?
I don't know what mantra they were chanting. One good reason why they both took initiation was to set an example. Yadi ayam navartayam jatu karnan yantandruta. If I don't do the proper thing, then other people will imitate me. So, to set the example, the Supreme Lord himself takes Diksha from a guru. But generally, you should keep your mantra private. You don't advertise it. We don't mind, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was advertising Hare Krishna all over the universe, so we can't keep it private anymore. Our mantra, they're blasting through all the loudspeakers all over town. How can we keep it secret? Even they're chanting, you know, on the loudspeaker, they're chanting Gayatri mantra. So how can we keep it secret?
Mm-hmm.
But traditionally, you should not tell other people what your mantra is. So I don't know any place in Bhagavatam or anywhere else where it's said what mantra Krishna received from Santapani Muni. We don't know. It is said when Krishna was a Grihastha in Dwarka, he would worship Lord Narayan, even though that is worshipping yourself. Still he did it every day. But in Bhagavatam at least, it doesn't say what mantra he was chanting. That we don't know. Maybe with some other Purana there's some hint. I don't know. But which one? Which one? Well, regular guys, but he may have received, but Vishnu, Diksha, you receive special Vishnu mantra. What mantra he received, we don't know. Don't know. And Ramachandra, I don't know. Maybe it's described in Valmiki Ramayana, what mantra he received. I don't know. No, not there. Okay. There are so many mantras. Generally, in the modern age, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, other Vaishnavas also, they take the Gopal Gayatri mantra. But there are over 30 different versions of Gopal Gayatri mantra. There are so many different versions. 10 syllables, 12 syllables, 8 syllables, different versions. They're all bona fide mantras. Thank you. Very good. Anything else? Yes, Guru? How many sages were assembled? And were they all devotees? Well, the ones mentioned by name, the important munis, are about 25 or 26. But it's understood that they, it's mentioned that they came with their disciples also. And also, traditionally it's understood that there were other people, kings there, and even women sitting in the back. Many people were there. Hundreds of people were there. And they didn't have any electric sound system. They did not have any electric sound system. It may have been difficult to hear in the back of the audience. It may have been difficult to hear in the back of the audience. For some who were sitting in the back, they got the benefit to see, but they didn't hear every word. Maybe, or maybe by some mystic process, everybody was able to hear perfectly every word. But there were hundreds of people present. Oh no, and no, it is known. We know the names. Some of them were Karmis, some of them were Shaivites, some of them were impersonalists. But still they wanted to hear the Bhagavatam, and that hearing changed them. Shukadeva Goswami presented the confidential description of Krishna's Leela with the gopis only after first of all presenting 9,000 verses of the first 9 cantos and the first part of the 10th canto. Only after a very elaborate introduction did he begin describing these intimate things. So, if you sit in the audience when Shukadeva is speaking, after you hear 9 cantos, you'll be ready for 10th canto. But if you sit in the Bhagavata Sattaha of a man who's just doing it to make a living, you will not get much benefit. You'll go home about the same, not much change. You'll have some prasadam and go home, and not much will change in your life. But Bhagavata Sattaha is recited by some materialistic man. Some benefit, but not very much. But if you hear from Shukadeva, or someone empowered by Shukadeva, really, then after hearing 9 cantos, your heart will be so pure that you can hear the Gopi Lila and understand it and enter it in the spirit of it. They have to. Either they become devotees or leave. And if they stay and listen, they have to become devotees. Otherwise, their hearts are made out of steel. I think we have some corrections here. Yes, sir? Anyway, it's like going to an Indian cinema, for some emotional experience, a good cry. There's some benefit. They're hearing the Bhagavatam is better than ordinary cinema. But this is the speaking of Bhagavatam in the mode of ignorance. This is foolish. To make a cheap show of the transcendental ecstasies when your heart is still full of lust. Krishna and his pure devotees will laugh at this. To them it is a joke to see such a performance. We want to have such a recital of Srimad Bhagavatam. We don't care if the chief minister comes. What we want is that Narad Muni and Vyasadeva come and sit in the back and want to listen. We don't care. That they come and sit in the back and listen. Then we know we're a success. But we won't attract them to want to come and join the audience if we put on a ridiculous show. That's just something to laugh at. If we want to represent Srila Prabhupada and represent Srila Goswami, we should never compromise. We should never give any idea that it's okay to continue life as a materialist. We should always consider, I'm saying this, would Prabhupada be pleased to hear what I'm saying? Would Shukadeva Goswami be pleased to hear it? But there's not compromising is one thing, but we do have to be tactful We have to try to get a positive response from our audience, not just make them angry and go away. Prahlad Maharaj could speak the way he did to his father because he was who he was. If we imitated that, we would get killed. What's the use if you get yourself killed? Or if your audience just walks up, stands up and walks away? So you have to win the heart of your audience. They're speaking the truth, but in a way that will be accepted. Satyam Kriyatam Chaya. And you can do that without compromising. You can win the heart of your audience and attract them and please them without distorting the truth and without telling any lies. Prabhupada gave one example. You approach a very important man. My dear sir, you are very, very advanced. You are very intelligent. You are respected by everybody. Now, sir, please forget everything you know and let me explain to you about Krishna's instructions. You approach the materialist respectfully, but then you uncompromisingly give him the truth. It's a very great art. We have to learn how to do it. Just like a surgeon convinces his patient, I'm going to cut you with a knife, and you will pay me 1 lakh for that. No. So you have to convince the person you're preaching to, I'm going to cut your illusion up, and you're going to be happy about it. Okay. I think we have to stop now.
Vijay. Hare Krishna. Thank you.